Let's move on with Harata, with the Shar HaCharata, which we began last time, 2 days ago. So we are in the third paragraph of a very short Shar over here. Hamida Hazos Meguna Ma'od Eitzal HaOlam. He says, having Harata is something that the world does not respect. Meaning, in the world of politics, worse than having terrible shitos and believing in all the horrible things is to be a flip-flopper. If you're a flip-flopper, that's the worst. They catch you on it. They show old videos of you saying other positions. And if you say, well, you know, I changed my mind. What else will he change his mind about? Will he not believe that America should be a free country anymore? Will he? Right? So the worst thing in the world is to be a flip-flopper. The world doesn't like that. But I think what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is referring to over here is that in general people have an intuitive sense that someone who does not keep his word, someone who makes commitments and then doesn't live up to those commitments, does not earn the respect of other people. And it's very important that when a person makes a commitment, that he keeps to them. Kishein adam kayim b'inyan shalom. When a person doesn't keep his commitments, kishu omer hayom davar umischarit l'machar ve'ena omed b'dvarav. Today he says something, and specifically he says he's going to do something. Don't worry, I got it taken care of. And then he doesn't do it. He doesn't follow through. He gets lazy about it. So that is not viewed as in a positive way. And he gives examples. Kshu noder lehisanos. Person takes a neder to fast. Not so common. O lases tzedakah. A lot more common. A person takes a neder to give tzedakah. O lilma Torah. Or to learn Torah. I'm going to do the daf yomi. I'm going to be into it from day one. And yeah, from day one, just not day two. You know, so a lot of times people don't follow through on their commitments. There's a certain value, not just a certain value, a very, very great value to consistency, to being absolutely reliable, absolutely dependable. You know, I was listening on my drive back late last night to your session the other day with Charlie Harari. And one of the things that Charlie was saying, which by the way, he said that he's already spoken to Rabbi Brazil and has asked if he could join the Masmidim program as a Masmid for the rest of the summer. He's working on it, but he just has to figure out if his wife will allow it. I think he was joking, but with Charlie, I'm never sure. So one of the things he was saying is that the most successful people are the people that respect their time. And I'll just add, not just the people that respect their time, but the people that are most consistent. You know, I see it with people in my shul. The people who are most successful at being serious b'nei Torah, at continuing to grow in their learning and in their avodas Hashem, are the people that are absolutely rock solid in their commitment. You know, there are 4 or 5 people that I can absolutely count on will never miss a daf yomi as long as they're in the New York area. I as the Magid Shir, miss more times than they would miss. And those are people that you know are constantly growing because they're rock solid in their commitments. And you'd be surprised. It's a great challenge. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised. It's a great challenge for people to remain committed to things. How many times you have with people your age? They commit to a summer program and then I get the shayla, now I'm thinking I don't really want to go, but I said I would be a counselor. Now I don't want to be a counselor. Is it wrong if I say no? It's they still have 42 minutes till the summer starts, right? Maybe they can find somebody else. You know, like that doesn't speak well of a person. Whatever the answer to that question is, it's a midah that needs to be worked on. Meaning if you find yourself in that position too often, that's a midah that needs to be worked on. The person needs to be able to live up to his commitments. With tzedakah, it happens all the time. You know, in my shul, we're building a shul right now. So, you know, at one of the meetings, they said that we're X number of dollars short, and if everybody would just pay what they have already committed to pay, what they've already promised to pay, it would close the entire shortfall. And it was a significant amount of money. And I was thinking, that's awful. That means there are so many people that have committed to pay that haven't paid. This is terrible. What's going on in North Woodmere? What am I doing wrong as the rabbi if people are making commitments and not keeping them? So I started asking around other rabbanim, and they said, really, you have such a high percentage that have paid? Meaning, apparently we're doing better than most. This is a major issue, that people, for whatever reason, make commitments, whether they're committing beyond their abilities, beyond their means, because they get caught up in a moment and they don't think it through in advance, or whether they just it's not beyond their means, but they just decide, well, I'd rather redo the kitchen right now, I'd rather do this, I'd rather do that, instead of keeping their commitments. So anyway, so a person makes a commitment to give tzedakah, to learn Torah, umischarit, and then he has charata on that, zos mida ra'a, that is a bad mida. V'afal pi shetova davar shemischarit ala ra'a. Now certainly it's good to regret bad things. Tov uladam lamed asmo shleit starech l'shanos miminag l'minag. He says it's true. It's a good thing to regret averus that we've done, poor decisions that we've made. It's a good thing to sometimes people have a hard time regretting decisions. This is a psychological fact that once a person goes down a certain path, he convinces himself that it's correct. He can no longer view it purely objectively. They've done studies about this, about people who once they made a commitment in a certain direction, so now they convince themselves, and sometimes they'll dig themselves deeper in a hole because they don't want to reverse course. They don't want to cut their losses. They don't want to say, you know what, that was a bad decision, maybe I should start again. But better than that, more important than having the strength to do that, to cut your losses, to say, you know what, that was a bad decision, I don't have to keep on following through on this and keep on following it till the end. More important than doing that is to think things through so well before you make the decision that you won't have to come to charata. That's what we really strive to get to. So charata is good given that you've made mistakes. But better than that is to not have made those mistakes in the first place. It doesn't mean, obviously we're humans, we're going to make mistakes, but very often the mistakes that we make are simply because we haven't thought things through. We live in a society and in a culture in the 21st century more than ever where things have to happen immediately. And when things have to happen immediately, we tend not to think about them enough. About our actions enough before we do them. You know, someone told me on Shabbos, there's a concept in the secular world called the golden pause. What's the golden pause? If you're a negotiator in whatever business, a lawyer or whatever, you're a negotiator. They say of all the tools in the negotiator's toolbox, the golden pause is the most valuable of all of them. The golden pause is someone comes at you with an offer, with a statement, don't respond. Pause. Think for a second. Just stop and contemplate for a moment before you respond. Think things through. It's not natural. The natural is to respond right away. You know what the Pasuk says this past week's parasha? That Korach comes after Moshe Rabbeinu, and he comes with all of his tainas, and he comes with all of his tainas to Moshe Rabbeinu, this counts. yeah, maybe better. So he comes with his tainas. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction when Korach comes with his tainas to Moshe Rabbeinu? How does Moshe Rabbeinu react? So Vayipal al panav, he falls on his face. He sets up a meeting for tomorrow, right? He sets up a plan for the next day. But before that, what Yaakov said, it doesn't say he's quiet, but it says Vayishma Moshe. He listened, meaning, and that's something that think about what they were saying to him. They were saying to him that you're a Balgaiva, all you want is honor and power and whatever. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the person that God Himself was made. Was Anav Mikaladam. He could have said, you ridiculous, one of the counselors asked me last week, it says, Rashi quotes that they were coming with Divrei Leitzanus. Leitzanus, where's the Leitzanus? They didn't make a joke out of anything. What kind of Leitzanus? No, that's a Leitzanus. You say about the person, the only person in human history that God is able to testify about, that he's Anav Mikaladam, and they're saying that he's interested in power? It's a Leitzanus. It's a joke. He could have totally dismissed it. But Vayishma, So, okay, maybe Vayishma means he heard. No, it doesn't mean he heard. Vayishma never means he heard. Because if it's that Moshe Rabbeinu heard, I know he heard. You know how I know he heard? Because he then fell on his face, and he then set up the meeting the next day. And also, we have no record of Moshe Rabbeinu being deaf. So, obviously, he heard. Right? So, what's Vayishma? Whenever the Torah says Vayishma, whenever it talks about Shmia, it always means more than just hearing. It means hearing, not in the, it means it in like the yeshivish sense. You know, like the yeshiva bachra says to his chavrusa, I hear what you're saying. It does not mean that my audio receptors are in tip-top shape, right? Meaning, it means that I am internalizing what you're telling me. That's Vayishma Yisro. What did Chazal say right away? Mashmua shama uba. What affected him? Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. You know, sometimes things are lost in English translation. Few more than that. Right? Hear, O Israel. Come on. Shema Yisrael. You got to hear it like a yeshiva bachur hears it. Right?
There's a difference between hearing something and listening to it. You hear something like going from one ear and out the other, but when you listen to something like that, that's something that's...
Right, so Shema doesn't necessarily mean just hearing, right? Meaning it means something much, much deeper than that. And that's what the Aruch HaTzadikim is suggesting is that if a person wants to be successful, then better than, charat is good. If you did bad things, you have charat of that, that's good. Better than that is, think about how to make your decisions in the first place. You know, there are books on how to make proper decisions. I've read a few of them recently. For whatever reason, when decisions come up in life and you're trying to balance things and trying to figure out what the right thing to do is, you should think about it. It's worth investing the time, because you make the wrong decision, you end up somewhere that you don't want to be. I just read that. And this is the ultimate good. Think about the proper way to behave, the proper actions. And get used to them, and practice them. And just think before you do things. If you're able to withstand it, meaning the right choice is something that you're holding by, that you're able to do, that you're going to have the wherewithal to follow it through, so then try. Don't jump around from one practice to another. You know, there's some people, every time they hear a new idea, it's, let me try that, and nothing sticks. So you have to figure out what can stick, what can become a part of you. Kimita maguni himaod mishahu hafachfach. What's that? Flip flopper. It's bad. Vuhu nivzal ve'olam. People will disrespect that. Afilu kofitz mimidatova lemidatova. Even if, today I'm starting daf yomi. Oh, tomorrow I'm gonna do amid yomi, and then the next day I'm gonna do mishnah yomi, and then the next, you're doing all sorts of good things, but you don't really have a thing. You're not doing anything. So that even if it's mitatova mitatova ki ein mamashos. The inyana, the inlismachalav, because there's no substance to it. The person's not dependable. It's most important that a person develop an attitude, a hanhaga, where he's dependable. It doesn't come easily to everybody. There are different people with different personalities. Some personalities that were born that way, you know, like people are very mesudar, and like that's their very nature, and that's the way. And some people they're a little more, you know, all over the place, and it takes a lot more effort to learn Seder in their lives. And you could tell often, you know, what a person's nature is. I have a very close friend who's like, by nature, he's mamish all over the place. You see the way his brain works. He's just like, you know, he's brilliant, but his brain is everywhere. And he became, you know, in high school, he was nuts. And he became a lawyer. How did he become a lawyer? Because he learned how to discipline himself. And he lives such a disciplined life. Even though none of that came naturally to him. So he has all of the kochos of the creative types, yet he has the advantage of living with that discipline. So that's a very great maila. So the Aruch HaTzadikim now yells at us, Ben Adam! I have an exclamation point in mind. Shuv ba'od shacharat ha-shalcha. Do tshuva when you still regret it. Va'al ta'achrad bo'achal kever. Don't wait until you're in the grave. So when are you going to be in the grave? So I just so when I'm 119, I'll do tshuva. No, of course. What did Chazal tell us? Shuv yomecha lefrei misascha. You should do tshuva a day before you die. And so the, what's the next line? Does a person know when he's going to die? No, that's why you do tshuva every day. As soon as you regret something, do tshuva right away. Ki az tia mischaret. A lot of times people tend to delay. We tend to procrastinate. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do good. I'm going to change. But I'll change later. And we know we never know. We never know when we're going to have the opportunity, or if we will have the opportunity to do so. I remember one very sad tkufa. When I was in high school, there was a boy in my grade who I grew up with, went to elementary school with, whatever, and he was like the classic guy that was going to flip out in Israel, just like his brothers did, just like, he was going to do his thing, sow his wild oats, and that was his plan. That was always the plan. And he got killed in a car accident in senior year. And it was and I remember being Menachem Avil, his brothers, who I don't at the time did not have a relationship with. Now I have a relationship with one of them, but I remember being Menachem Avil, his brothers, and they said, "Tell your whole chevra that he was planning on changing everything. He was planning on that. He would talk about it openly, but you don't know. That's what the Mishnah says. You don't know, so you have to do tshuva every day. It's a little bit of a downer to think about that, but we know that we don't know. We know that life can change in an instant. And that's just the way things go." So kiyastiya mischarit vein takana l'charata ahi. Charata doesn't help when we're in the grave. Imasisa davar keneged chavercha hischarit v'telech v'tratzein. If you've done something to somebody, build up the courage to go and ask forgiveness. Vim chavircha pasha bach u'mischarit. And if someone else built up the courage to ask you for forgiveness, kablehu. You have to be generous, you have to be kind, you have to accept it, receive it properly. Even if you're not sure that he really means it. A lot of times, a person will come very guarded, sort of asking, but he's not asking for forgiveness the way you would have liked him to ask for forgiveness. And he's coming somewhat guarded because he's not sure how you're going to react. And if you react with generosity, you'll see that there will be that the rest will be forthcoming, that the warmth and the sincerity will be forthcoming. But he wants to see kemayim panam al panam. He wants to see that there's going to be some chance of a relationship, something that you're gonna be generous. Rak shehu menaka atzmo negdecha. If a person is willing to cleanse himself in front of you to say, I'm sorry, kablehu, then you should be mekablet. Imochachta usa bedvarim kashim atshu sanecha. If you gave him mussar to the point that he hates you, kederach shamar David ubiskom mecha eskotet al tischarit al osa ketata kiim tischarit v'tzvakish menu mechila oz yischazik v'tu usa. He says if you were right, this should be rarely used, but if you gave someone mussar and you were right and the person is very angry at you for having given them mussar, don't regret having given them the mussar, because then when you apologize, they'll go back, they'll say, oh, I guess I was right the whole time. They'll go right back to the poor behavior. So I don't know if that's always true, if that's always a great idea. Sometimes it's worth, I'm in a different position than you. I'm a rabbi. My job is sort of to tell people when, like sometimes I'll have to call someone and say, listen, you don't shut up during davening. You gotta, like I wouldn't say it like that. I would say something more along the lines of, you're such a chevraman, you're so warm, you're so friendly, it seems that people respect you, so maybe if you were to like make a strong stance about being quiet during davening, then others would follow. And the person realizes what I'm telling him, he doesn't shut up during davening, so and he gets insulted, and he's going to get insulted, and it's worth it for me to say that and then call back the next day and say, I'm sorry if I was too harsh, but he still knows that I don't apologize and say, no, it's okay to talk during davening. Meaning that there are different... What he's saying, don't have charata on the fact that you gave the mussar, as if you're saying that it's okay what you were doing, but you can do it in such a way, you can finesse it in such a way where he realizes that you didn't want any hard feelings to come out of it, but at the same time, you would prefer if he corrected his behavior. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish up Shara Charata and maybe even begin the next Shara.